Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Welcome to Adventures in Companionship with myself, Rufile, and Dr. Bill Price. Definitely not new to radio. He was a national presenter for more than four programs years ago. Glad to have him back. So Dr. Phil is a master executive, global leadership and strategy coach. He is also qualified in neuroscience, brain biology, and a member of the Institute of Coaching for the McPhee Association of the Harvard Medical University. He's a professional international speaker as well, a coach and a husband to Estelle, and a father to two adult children, and a grandfather to four amazing alive grandchildren. He loves reading, hiking in mountains, laughter, walking in nature, good movies, socializing, and as a futuristic, scanning the horizon for new trends and unfolding as we live in the day and now. So today, let us welcome Dr. Bill Price.
And it's a privilege to be with you.
Absolutely.
And with everyone out there, Rufile, and we're going to continue to share our whole process around our unfolding story of companionship.
And absolutely.
What all of that means.
Yeah. So today we're focusing on the connectedness, you know, that we need, like when you need a want and desire it from both people.
Yeah.
So if I'm a person who's not receiving probably love or companion from maybe family or friends, how can I challenge myself not to?
So it goes back to a time when the Creator spoke and said, it was one of the few times that he said it's not good. And it was when he looked at Adam and he said, listen, it's not good that he's alone. He needs a helpmeet. He needs a companion. And so companionship was born out of necessity. It was born out of, in terms of who we are and how we've been wired together and how we've been created, we all desire a sense of community, a sense of connection, a sense of interpersonal relationship. And every relationship has a beginning. So it has a genesis, just as in the book of Genesis, every relationship has a genesis. So I'd like you to maybe go back in your thinking to a time when it was the first time that you moved into a new home and you're standing outside, maybe it's a childhood memory. You're standing outside and you look to your left and right and there are new children, strangers, they're absolute strangers because you've never met them before, but they're playing in their yards. And what was it that you did when you first saw the new person on the other side of the fence? Did you walk up to them? Did you say hi? What was your response?
I definitely said hi.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well done. So there's a lot of people that do that, but there's a few people that go, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk to anybody, and they make as if they haven't seen anybody, turn around, or, yeah. So that's a sad thing, and there are reasons for it why people don't make friends. But the genesis of starting any interpersonal relationship is when one partner or both goes towards the other, and the first thing they do basically is, let's greet one another. Hi. And then, of course, we ask, what's your name? And we share each other's name. Mm. And then we ask the obvious question. I notice that you're playing with your dolls. Do you like dolls? And then we start talking about the things that we notice. And we are looking for connection points. We're looking for points that we can make observations on, that we can share a little bit of communication on, so that with hope, this thing is going to move forward. We also know that if the person is living next door to us, there's a high probability that we're going to meet one another quite regularly. And so we might as well start, and we might as well start somewhere, and there's no better time than now.
Yeah.
So what was the next thing that happened after you greeted the person and for a few days. What happened next? Did you go and visit? Did they invite you over to play with them? What was the...
Well, I didn't actually go to visit. I was just indoors most of the time. And because I didn't know if ever visiting was going to be a good thing for them or if they were going to welcome me. So I stayed at home until the lady came to us and said, no, you must come and play. And then I felt welcome and then I would go and play.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from your side, one picks up that there is a huge amount of, not reserve or reservation, but there's a huge amount of respect. So you respect each other's space. You respected the other person's who they are. And there was nothing that came from you kind of imposing on them. So you just said, there's a possibility. I'm open to the possibility.
Mm.
And that is exactly how it works in relationships. So there's a set of almost like a mindset that is different to interpersonal relationships. You have to have an internal mindset from which to function. So the first very, very important part of the mindset is mutual respect. And mutual respect gives boundaries. It gives people opportunity to understand a little bit about who they are and realize that I must not be imposing. So the reality is that I make space. So there's this mutuality of respect. And then there will be other people that will notice, like in your case,
yeah.
An adult noticed and said, well, it'll be nice. I mean, the people are here, they're living here, you seem like nice neighbors. You're not playing the doof doof music in the background or in the foreground after 10 o'clock at night. So you're nice neighbors. And so they reach out to you and say, why don't you come over? They have also looked at the need in their child that it would be nice to have someone like you to be a friend, an acquaintance. And so they come forward and then there is an official invitation. So the next step is after we meet, after there's this open-mindedness, this mutual respect, and the mutual respect goes even further than that. So
yeah.
I think mutual respect is based on one thing. I know that all my relationships with whomever I have a relationship, whether it's an in-depth relationship or a beginning relationship, the first thing that I remind myself is that the person, no matter who they are, no matter what their religion, their creed, their gender, their color, anything about diversity, and there are a thousand things about diversity, including background and all of that, and we all have that. What I superimpose over people is I believe that you contain and are created in the image of God. So that's where I begin. I begin with that reference that you are a fellow being that has the image of God imprinted on them. So therefore, there's nothing else that I can do but respect you. There's nothing else that I can do other than honor you. And there's nothing else that I can do other than open myself up to the possibility of an ongoing, evolving, developing friendship as it goes. So respect, I think, also is part of let's agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
So I guess at some stage when you played dolls, the other little girl that was next door said, no, 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 this is my doll. You can play with this one. And they kind of choose the best for them and give you what they think you would like to play with. And we don't become imposing in that moment, going, no, 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 I want to play with your doll. Your doll looks nice. And we realize at some stage we have to move this interplay, this dance, this relationship between each other from we are still new at it and in it, and at times there's going to be, we need to put time into the equation. We need to put regular visits into the equation. We need to put the way we relate to each other into the equation in our interpersonal relationship. And then as time goes by, we learn to like one another, and then like moves to trust. And the moment I trust, then I'll give you my best doll, or I'll give you my best truck to play with, because I trust and I've watched you, how you played with the stuff that I've given you. And so your track record proves that I can entrust things to you. So it develops.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like as you were talking, I'm just thinking about the fact that just a few days ago, I was talking to this young boy. He's 13. So I was telling him about the importance of being true to the principles that he holds to himself. Like he shouldn't allow people to give him scraps and then he's okay with it. He needs, even though he feels like he needs maybe a pair of shoes, but for someone giving them shoes that are torn up, shoes that wouldn't even look good, he shouldn't allow himself to be treated that way.
Yeah, because somehow they've missed the whole thing of you're a person of dignity. You are created in the image of God.
So absolutely.
If I'm going to give you something to eat, well then for goodness sake, let me give you a whole hamburger or a whole bunch of grapes or a whole apple, so that you feel I'm giving you quality and not giving you something that I've taken a bite out of or whatever. You
exactly.
Know? So it's, and so we, the mutual respect and the fact that we are in a developing interpersonal relationship means that there is a standard. And so even if you've been raised, so I've got friends that were raised on farms and they white Afrikaners, and they see that they're doing good, or they think that they're doing good by doing a handout thing, you know. So they'll they do good, they create, they get their mom and them to make sandwiches, and they ride around in the car and for people that are standing on the side of the road, hoping for an opportunity to be blessed. They then give them a proper sandwich to eat, which is, I think that's good, because they're standing there all day and possibly had nothing to eat. And if they don't have finances, then what's the next best thing that I can give? But whatever I give, the gift needs to be appropriate. It needs to be given in love. It needs to be given with a thankful heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Christ comes and challenges us and tells us that we have to be cheerful givers. You know, most of the time we are givers who are competitive. I would give because I saw another organization giving, or I would give because I saw someone else giving. So I want to give more, better than them, not because I want to, not because it's in my heart to give, but it's because I'm competing with them and I want that recognition, you know, to be seen.
So it was like yesterday, I was in the car, I was at a toll gate, there was one vehicle in front of me, there was another vehicle in front of them, and the vehicle that was holding up the traffic, evidently the person didn't have enough money or couldn't find enough money or whatever, and so the person in the second car got out of the car, had 10 rand in their hand, walked up to the cashier, handed over the 10 rand, but started screaming and shouting, abusive language, at the cashier, going, "Can't you see there's a queue? Can't you see? Why don't you just let the person through, etc.? You're holding up the whole queue." And I said, "So now you're paying for the person. That's a gift. But you've taken away the joy, because you're doing it now with abuse. You're doing it with anger. You're doing it with non-gratitude. So that can't be seen as appropriate giving. You know, you'd rather just get out the car, and if you want to bless someone, go, excuse me, how much do you need? Here's the money. I'd like to pay on their behalf, and I bless you." But then they made a big rigmarole of the whole process and messed it all up. And I thought, you know, you've just missed an opportunity here.
Yeah.
And you've belittled people at the same time. So the art of working with people in an awakening friendship is not to belittle them, is not to embarrass them, is not to make them anything else other than who they are. So they are a person of dignity, They're a person of value. They're a person of worth. They are beloved. They are accepted. They are acknowledged. They have value. They have purpose. And that's what we need to be realizing when we're in a friendship. And definitely there's also the process for both people in terms of what's in it for me.
Mm.
So I'm coming into this relationship and there's definitely something that I want out of it. I want friendship, laughter, fun, adventure, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I might even like the smell of your mom's cooking in the house and wait for the opportunity to please invite me. Because the food smells great and I'd love to eat. So whatever it is, what's in it for me comes from both sides, and that's okay. As long as the what's in it for me is not something which is selfish or demeaning or is going to harm me physically, psychologically, emotionally. So the what's in it for me has got to be appropriate.
Yeah, I believe so as well. And also with the fact that, you know, as you know, you mentioned the other time when we were speaking about the acquaintance to close friend to soulmate, when we're talking about mutuality.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes you back to understand that how we treat people is actually most of the time is dependent on what they do for us or what they have achieved. So we treat people based on their status, and instead of just meeting them, a heart-to-heart conversation and having that bond, you know, that clear bond that will can actually help you, you know, to actually progress. And you get to learn from them. Just because someone has less than you doesn't mean there aren't lessons and things to learn from them.
Exactly. And even although they might have more than you, there's also lessons to learn.
Absolutely.
But that eventually fades. It doesn't become the prerequisite of why we are having a friendship.
Yeah. That's actually interesting. So that was myself, Refule, and Dr. Bill Price on The Adventures of Companionship. Be with us next week as we continue with this series, and do not even miss any of this because it's exciting. We're learning, we're growing, and we're becoming better people.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles DeToy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
You can now buy your favorite programs and series of the past 38 years on eCompanion, Radio Pulpit's own online shop. Revisit programs by beloved presenters like Justice Chungu, Cecile Burger, Esti Geldenhuys, and Pastor Aaron Jelle. Books and CDs from various authors and artists, as well as Radio Pulpit t-shirts, caps, and other branded products will also be available on eCompanion, your one-stop soul food shop. Visit radiopulpit.co.za and click on shop. T's and C's apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.